Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of the Dork Forest. Spoiler alert, wah, wah. Spoiler alert, wah, wah.
Stop listening if you haven't seen Endgame.
Andy Ashcraft and I will be discussing the movie Endgame. And the whole MCU, probably. Or as much of it as we can remember in this hour. And begin. No. We went and saw it again yesterday.
We did, and we've seen it twice now.
Right.
In the opening week.
In the opening week. And so, I would like to say that we are going to find 1,000 tiny flaws.
Yes.
But
we enjoyed it.
I loved it. I thought it was great. There are a thousand flaws. But I did enjoy it a great deal. And usually I do the spoiler one with Comedy Film Nerds guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris Mancini.
Yeah.
And, well, and Greg,
good guys.
Graham Elwood.
Friends of the show.
Right. And when they talk about flaws, I, for some reason, get very defensive. And then I don't mention any. But we can come from a place of love here in the Dork Forest.
This is a place of love. This is just critical. This is just being looking at these things that we love with a critical eye.
Doesn't mean we're not going to watch them 1,000 times.
That's right. It's not going to mean that we're not going to buy the DVD as soon as it comes out and put it in the shelf with all the others.
With all the others.
And then watch them whenever we want.
Whenever we want, you guys. We just put them right in. It's pretty great. So
we watched, speaking of putting them in and watching them, we watched in preparation.
Right.
We watched Civil War,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Infinity.
Right.
Avengers Infinity.
Right.
Because I had a theory, and I was right, that that this would basically end a trilogy
in your
of
mind.
Movies,
yes.
About Tony Stark and Steve Rogers' relationship.
Right. Like, because they had a breakdown of friendship.
They had a breakdown of friendship in Civil War,
mm-hmm.
That caused Infinity to basically be a tragedy in which their inability to get it together,
right,
was
and,
their
and
fatal
work
flaw.
Together, yeah.
That they managed to pull it back together and get back together and work together again in Endgame, so that everything came out all right.
Yeah, and that did indeed happen.
Yeah,
because right. In Civil War, we find out, of course, that the Winter Soldier had mm-hmm. been tasked with killing the Stark. Howard Stark and his wife.
That's right.
And Iron Man finds out, and Cap takes, and it's the registration thing from the comics, right? Like that. That's
right. Well, yeah.
It's a Kosovo, not Kosovo.
Right.
It's the Sequoia.
Sequoia Accords.
Accords.
Right.
And
in the comics, it was created by a different event, but
right.
It was the same idea that superhumans needed to be registered.
Right.
And
so then it split down party lines. There
right.
was Team Cap, Team Iron Man.
Right.
And with Iron Man wanting registration and Cap saying no.
Right.
You can't reveal people's secret identities.
You can't reveal people's secret identities. You can't charge them with you can't put them under different restrictions because they happen to have superpowers.
Right. That was his argument, that you couldn't do it because they have superpowers, but they wanted to register him and know who everybody was.
That's right.
So, and so that was the thing that caused the schism, and then the thing that really broke their friendship was the Howard Stark thing. Was that from
right.
the books?
No.
The comics? No?
I don't believe so.
But that was the...
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Okay.
Remember. I don't remember it.
Okay. And then in Infinity War, how did it work that they didn't get to... that they didn't work together?
At the beginning, Tony had the cell phone that Steve had sent him.
Oh, the tiny cell phone.
At the very end of Civil War.
Right.
And couldn't bring himself to use it. And then the aliens attacked, and then there was no time.
Right.
Ultimately, Banner picks up the cell phone after Stark
and Spider-Man
have gone off into space with Doctor Strange, and connects with Steve that way, with Captain America that way.
Right.
But Iron Man just couldn't, Tony Stark just couldn't face making the call.
Right, he just stared at it for too long.
And then the aliens were attacking, and then it was action, action, action.
Right, and the aliens were sent by Thanos.
Yes.
There we go. That's right. And then they all, and then Cap had to go to Wakanda, and then that's how that happened.
That's right.
Okay, I remember. Okay, because they were trying to get Vision, the Soul Stone,
They're trying to remove the Mind Stone from Vision.
Right.
So that they could then destroy the Mind Stone so that Thanos would never have all five of them.
Right. Or six of them.
Six of them.
Yep. Okay. So now we're caught up. Well, not really. But, I mean, because the end of Infinity.
Right.
War.
Thanos gets all six.
Gets all six. He snaps.
Snaps his fingers. Half of everybody dies.
And everybody. Like
just
birds.
The left half.
Why so?
I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. but like birds and bees, too. Which feels very ineffective.
Right.
Because.
Supposedly half of all living things.
Right.
But they didn't show half of all trees being dead. Half of all plants being dead.
No. But they did show, like, in Infinity, in Endgame, when. Who was
spoiler,
it?
First spoiler coming up right away.
Right away. When they undo it.
Yes.
And he goes to the window and there's birds.
Yes.
He's like, I think it worked.
Yes. Because there are lots of birds out.
There's more birds now. Who was that? Was that Clint or was that Ant-Man. Cap? Ant-Man. It was Ant-Man. Oh, that's who it was.
Ant-Man.
Okay. So, first spoiler is they get them all.
Yes.
Because time travel is invented.
Because time travel is invented again.
Very quickly. Now, know in your hearts that time travel now exists in all three of the franchises.
That's right. Deadpool's got time travel.
X-Men got time travel.
X-Men got time travel. And now
the Avengers
got
time travel. And time travel was invented very easily.
That's right.
And it all worked out on a dining room table. In Iron Man's living room.
That's right.
Not even in the garage, you guys.
Right.
So
he's moved it to the dining room.
Uh-huh. And clearly Gwyneth Paltrow is over being in these movies, or the goop thing has made the boys write her out.
I mean, she's in it.
But she's got three scenes.
Yeah, but they're awesome scenes. I think they're terrific scenes.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is maybe why that's why I wanted more of her.
Maybe.
Because
she is, Gwyneth Paltrow is Pepper Potts.
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of amazing. I think
so. The scene where she says, I've spent my entire life trying to make you not do things.
Right. Where she basically gives him the go ahead to go fix things.
Right.
At the risk
of ruining everything.
Of ruining everything.
Right.
Because other people are more, she understands
that other they got people lucky. Are,
they got lucky and they're not necessarily.
Because she's a hero.
Because she's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's like, okay, you're going to do that. And then the last scene, giant spoiler coming up, at Iron Man's funeral. An amazing.
Well, at his death.
At his death.
At his side as he dies.
Yes.
Which was also amazing.
Which was also an amazing scene. And then, what was the third scene with her?
And then the funeral.
Well, wasn't there one before where, oh wait, the reunited.
That's right. They're reunited, which was also great.
Which was also great, but not as great as those other two scenes were amazing.
Right.
At his death and her giving him permission are two amazing scenes.
Right.
Yeah. And then, why did I bring it up? We wonder. What else? So they invent time travel.
Which means that, you know, Marvel Universe has now a problem with time travel because it's really super easy to travel in time and screw around with stuff.
And we're explained by the Ancient One that bone spurs will be created. Little time spurs will be created.
But they're bad, mm-hmm, if they do not have if they're missing any Infinity Stones.
Right. She doesn't seem to care if you go back and change history and create a spur. If the Infinity Stones are there, like when
that's not really what they're talking about. She's not concerned about them changing history.
Right.
She is only concerned about them creating a universe in which the Time Stone does not exist.
Because she needs the time. Because she's entirely concerned about the time stone.
She's entirely concerned about the time stone.
Okay. How great was it when she knocks Bruce Banner out of the Hulk, though?
Awesome.
That was such a great scene on the roof, right?
Yep.
Ah, so good.
I actually really enjoyed the scene with her and Bruce Banner
yeah.
all the way through.
The whole scene.
Even at the very end when she's like, she's looking up at him and going, I'm counting on you.
Yeah, you better.
Get this right.
Yeah. And then... How does it, I mean, and that's probably the easiest easiest stone to return for Cap at the end of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Cap gets the task of jumping back in time and returning all of them. And, of course, they don't do it. We don't see any of this happening. But we assume that he's successful.
Right. Very irritating.
Because if you think about what some of that means.
Right. And how great would six and one-shots, Marvel one-shots, with Cap returning the stones?
Maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll do them.
Yeah. It'd be pretty great. Just 15-minute.
Yeah.
Him wandering around Asgard trying to find the room that Jane Foster is in.
Right. And then saying, do you mind if I inject this thing back into you?
I know you're feeling better. And have been for 2 seconds.
But the good news is they're going to get it out of you again.
Right, right. Just another 2 seconds later.
Right. It'll be fine.
Right. And so that's him returning the ether, which is what the which one is that? The red one?
That was the red stone. That was I think that's the matter stone.
Space mind
reality.
Reality. It was
the reality stone.
Okay, so the reality stone. So the soul stone, you don't get your soul back?
You don't get your soul back.
You get a receipt.
Yeah, no, it's not a deposit.
It's not.
It's a cost.
But how great would that scene be with him in the Red Skull?
Well, that's just it. He's got to go back, not knowing that this person is the Red Skull, because nobody who's visited there knows who the Red Skull is. So right. They haven't warned him. They're just like, oh, there's this red floaty guy there. You're going to have to talk to the red floaty guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to go there and he's going to realize red floaty guy is the Red Skull.
Right.
His original villain.
From
and
First Avenger.
And he's going to have to give that guy
the soul stone. Right. Yeah.
That's a scene. That's like, that's
an amazing scene.
That's an amazing dramatic moment.
The fact that they missed. Sent Clint and Black Widow, Hawkeye and Black Widow to get rid of it. I mean, that scene was incredible.
It's really good.
It's a really good scene where they both try to kill themselves.
Right.
It's such a weird definition of... I mean, it's the only one where you kill somebody, you can have the stone. Sure.
Right, right.
It's such
sacrifice.
A weird...
It's a sacrifice thing. You've got to sacrifice something to the soul stone. Here's the thing with the soul stone. In the movies, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
It only exists to complete the set.
Right. Right. And who doesn't want...
It doesn't actually do anything.
Right. In the comic books, it allows the user to... This is from Wikipedia.
Right.
To steal, control, manipulate, and alter living and dead souls.
Right.
The Soul Gem is also the gateway to an idyllic pocket universe. At full potential, the Soul Gem grants the user control over all life in the universe.
And I sort of feel like we saw that pocket universe with little Gamora...
Oh, in Infinity War.
But we never get to see it in Endgame.
Right. There were many things that were not addressed.
Yeah, it's sort of they dropped that thread and didn't find a way to make it.
3 hours, they couldn't figure out how to bring it back. And that is too bad because Gamora's gone at the end of this movie. And we're like, Where is she gone? And another great her and Nebula, that was another great scene.
Yep.
Where you know, present day Nebula explains what, but then present day Nebula kills old Nebula.
Yeah.
So, I mean, granted, she just jumps.
There's a shootout. Nebula shot first.
Nebula did shoot first. It was Nebula on Nebula crime.
It was definitely Nebula on Nebula crime, and it was.
Have you ever wanted to shoot your old self and go, "What is the problem?"
The perfect cat on her own self hatred.
Exactly. Yes, for sure. But the way the teams were broken up, right? Mm-hmm. It went Cap and Iron Man and Ant-Man and the Hulk.
Right.
Go back essentially to Avengers 1.
To New York during Avengers 1.
Yeah, 2012.
Because they realized that all three, there was three stones in New York at that moment.
Why did they bring the Hulk?
To go and get the stone from Doctor Strange.
Oh, that's what he did. Oh, yeah. That's right. His job was to get that time stone.
The time stone from Doctor Strange.
Okay, because he's now a smart Hulk.
Right, not realizing that Doctor Strange was not Doctor Strange yet.
Right.
And so it was the ancient one.
Oh, that's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
That they just assumed that we would remember, which is kind of great. That's right. Respecting the audience right there, I thought.
Yeah.
And the fact that the ancient one was like, "No, you're 5 years too early."
Mm-hmm.
And and this movie supposedly took place in 2023.
Right. So it starts in 2019.
Right.
Or 2018.
Yeah.
And then
5 years later.
And then 5 years later.
When Iron Man has a baby with Pepper Potts.
Right. It's now 2023.
Yeah.
And so, interestingly, there's a five-year period in the Marvel Universe where half the people are dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't undo that time.
What do you think happened to the Mets? What happened to the Mets?
Well, they probably only had...
Were they only had 9 players? They got a deep bench. From what I hear about the Mets, they got a real deep bench, Andy.
I think there's plenty of people still.
Right. And if there's 4 billion people on the planet, that was the population of the Earth, by the way,
mm-hmm.
in 1974.
Right.
So the Mets were around in 74.
That's right.
They weren't good.
Right.
But,
right.
And I don't know how deep their bench was then, but everyone was just sort of depressed, right?
Right. It was sort of depressing. Mm-hmm. A lot of things are not getting done. There's a scene, it's almost a throwaway scene. Ant-Man is in San Francisco. He's come back. He doesn't know what's happened because he's been in the quantum realm for 5 years.
Right. But 5 hours, which is why...
5 hours in his time.
And that's how we know about time travel.
Right. And he asks the kid on the bike, "Hey, what happened?" The kid just looks at him with this, like, this horrible...
sort of dead look at his face.
Dead look. And I'm like... Oh, right. We need to see more of that.
Just sort of the PTSD of it all, and
yeah. I mean,
well, they did.
Everybody lost half the people they knew.
Right. Unless you didn't, because it was very, very random.
It's
right?
Very random,
and because that was Thanos' big thing. He's like, it's not going to be all poor people.
Right.
It's not going to be all rich people.
Right.
It's going to be half of whatever, and it's going to be real randomized.
That's right.
And so, never addressed, we were talking about this, a couple of the things, the big issues that we talked about that that were addressed poorly, sort of love.
Yep.
And yep. Race.
Right.
And, I mean, just because these things are written by straight white guys, and they want to be inclusive, so they do things... to try to make them inclusive.
Right.
But they don't get any... They don't talk to anybody.
They
just assume that they've done it right. Because they know comic books.
Right. Right. And yeah. I have an issue... We'll talk about love, the first one.
Okay.
So, Gamora in the movies...
Right.
...is always correct.
Gamora is always... She is always correct.
She is always correct. Nobody's
from
paying...
From Guardians 1.
Nobody's paying any attention to her.
Right.
Like, nobody... Like she's with the Guardians. She's the one who's arguing...
Even as a child, she was correct.
...keeping the stone safe. Right. Even as a child, she's been correct the whole time through.
She is probably... So, she's clearly the smartest person in the room.
So, in Infinity...
Yeah.
She's on the mountainside on Vormir...
Yes.
With Thanos.
And the Red Skull.
And she realizes that Thanos is considering throwing her off the cliff because the Red Skull has told them that he has to lose something that he loves.
Right.
And she's already said, ha ha ha, you've never loved anything.
Right.
So this is either the first time that Gamora has been wrong.
Right.
Seems unlikely.
Right, not with a pattern, literally, of her being the sanest.
The sanest person.
And always
voice,
right.
The voice of morality.
And reason.
And reason. And she, and then she realizes that, of course, that's exactly what he's thinking. And she's like,
well, it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. This is a laugh because.
You don't love me.
This is not love.
Right.
And he throws her off, and it works.
The side eye that you have just given the world is awesome.
Right.
Yes.
So that's a problem for me.
Yes. Because it reflects what the writer doesn't know about love.
Right. Right. It, for some reason, the writers have decided at this moment that, yeah, it's love enough.
It's enough love.
It's enough of what love is. So I noticed that in Endgame, when Red Skull is making the pitch, same pitch to... Mm-hmm. He doesn't say it the same way. He doesn't say you have to get rid of something you love. He just says it requires a sacrifice.
Ah.
So he's left it more open-ended.
Okay.
So it's possible that Red Skull is not a good is not a believable narrator of what this of what the stone wants, and he's just fucking with them.
Well, that feels in character of Red Skull.
Right.
Right.
But you have to get rid of something you love.
Right.
You know. And then leers as they figure out what to do, you know. And when it's these other two,
it requires a sacrifice,
right?
But those two are constant. If there were a suicide pact where they could go together, those two have wanted to die since they met each other. They're like, no, I want to kill myself for you. No, I want to kill myself for you.
I have read on my... On my ledger. My ledger is full of bad things. I deserve to die. I don't deserve happiness.
Right, right. And
all right, I get it.
You get it. So
that's the first part. And then mm-hmm. the second moment of love
is the horrible...
The ending.
Cap and Peggy Carter.
Captain America goes back in time and spends his whole life with Peggy Carter.
Who has no lines in the movie.
No, zero lines in the movie. Peggy Carter, one of the most awesome characters in the MCU.
Yes. Agent Carter. We watched the whole season.
We watched two seasons of Agent Carter.
That's right.
Having a life. Having a romantic life.
Yeah.
Finding a way to be happy.
And being of use and being a
successful
hero.
And being of use and being all of a the full, things. Complete character.
Yep.
And no. She's just a trophy for Captain America because he did good.
Right.
Good boy. Here, have a biscuit.
Right. She's literally a placeholder for his heart as an example of what you get if you do the right thing.
Right.
And it's got all kinds of time problems to it because now they've created a spur.
Right. Now, I have found one of my co-teachers.
Yep.
Sent me a link to the director talking about these things specifically.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And the directors have said they've created alternate realities and there are stories out there that could possibly be told.
Sure. Okay. Well, and they don't have a problem with that.
They don't have a problem with that.
Whatever. Right. And then he brings the shield back.
Right.
And gives the shield.
So now we're talking about race.
And now we're talking about race. Yeah, because...
Who was it that told you that they thought that Endgame was pretty white?
Super white. On the Twitter, there was talk of how super whitey McGoo it was.
Yeah.
There's Rhodey and there's Sam Wilson. And Sam Wilson comes back on your left. Great line.
Yep.
Awesome line.
He comes back at the end, does his thing. T'Challa and Okoye and Shuri come back at the end, do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see them.
What we get to see is a lot of women standing together. We get to see a lot of people of color standing together.
And fighting.
But they're sort of groups of these represented people doing things.
Yeah.
But not having any character development or any sort of...
Yeah, there was at that point no time.
Right. But not even like three... Like, just think about those pepper pots.
Rhodey was in the whole movie.
Rhodey was in the whole movie.
And we barely got any character development from him.
Right. Rhodey trying to stop Iron Man when he's rediscovered, when he's just like, sit back down, don't get mad at Cap again.
Right.
This is what cost it in the beginning. And he doesn't ever say that.
Right.
Because Iron Man's blaming it entirely on Cap.
That's right.
And...
So he gets a nice juicy scene there. He gets a few good one-liners in.
Right. He's got some one-liners, but there's an interaction. There's two interactions for me that I think if they would have consulted like any sort of black nerd, Just some like Kyle Baker, just anybody. There was just a scene with Sam Wilson and Rhodey where they could have had an interesting conversation at just two or three lines.
Right.
Because, and I don't know, maybe the black community does, as a group, as an entirety, someone tell me. No, but the thing is but I know that when Black Widow went and talked to Captain Marvel, I wanted more. I wanted at least two more sentences.
Right.
Just where they were just like, anything along the line of, bitches, man. I know it's real hard. It's hard for bitches to want to do shit. And then...
right.
And but there was none of that. It was all just business.
Yeah.
And the men, like Cap and Iron Man, got to have a lot of feels, man.
Right.
They got to have all their emotions in a row.
Right. Spider-Man gets to have lots of feels.
Right. Ant-Man gets to have some. Clint gets to have some.
Yep.
Black Widow gets to have some with Clint.
Yeah, and with Captain America.
And with Captain America. But that is, there's no sort of, and then there was just yesterday, somebody asking me whether that A-Force shot, which wasn't the A-Force, but had enough of the A-Force to make me think of the A-Force.
Right, and you were not alone, I guess.
Right.
A lot of people are talking about it being the A-Force shot.
Right, because it was all the women superheroes. Just going, saying about Captain Marvel that she wasn't alone.
Right.
And that they all went in together. And it was a really cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was an amazing scene that I was like, yes.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, did you feel pandered to? And I was like, the whole movie was a pandering. Like, if you think about all those references to Back to the Future
right.
and Time Cop
yes.
or whatever, all of that stuff is just pandering to 50-year-olds.
That's right.
All of the, you know, the old Ant-Man helmet.
Yeah.
That's pandering to the comic book person guy in all of us, right?
Absolutely.
All of that stuff. So why wouldn't you throw a cool A-Force pandering moment out? I'm like, yes, please.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Right.
Yeah.
And thank God they didn't call it W-Force.
For women?
Yeah.
Yes. It was Avenger Force.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be perfect.
In Infinity, you had a similar scene where Okoye and Black Widow and Scarlet Witch.
Oh right.
Get to fight the lady alien.
Oh, the lady alien
in the
That's
ditch
right.
in the final fight there.
Yep, Scarlet Witch coming in Infinity War, and Okoye
mm-hmm.
just saying, "What the hell is she doing up in the?"
right.
I forget about what Scarlet Witch's powers are,
because
they're different from the comics.
And kind of different from movie to movie.
They haven't committed.
They haven't fully committed to, yeah. So in the first,
Ultron?
In Ultron.
Yeah.
She has mind powers.
Okay. Oh, that's right.
But also seems to be able to, like, throw bolts and blast stuff. She loses the mind powers by the time we get to Civil War.
Mind control? Was she controlling people's? She was controlling people's minds.
Yes.
In Sokovia.
Yes, and she's the one who made the Hulk go mad.
That's right. Okay, and so she no longer has those mind powers by the time we're in Civil War.
Right.
Because she's just super powerful and can beat Vision.
Right. She's just super telekinetic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And in the comics, her powers are even weirder.
Yeah.
Like she's literally a sorceress.
Oh, okay.
And has a mutant ability that controls probability and creates and allows things to go strange.
Is she the improbability drive alive?
She is.
She's the walking improbability drive from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
She's very much the improbability drive. Yeah.
Then I want to see that character. I want to see the Olsen twins' little sister be that person.
Right.
Why would you throw that away?
Well, because it's hard to explain.
It is hard to explain. Well, what are you going to do?
Right.
And then when everybody came back, right?
Yeah.
Hope comes back. All the people just start appearing.
Yeah.
Just armies and armies and armies.
So good.
Weird that Thanos kind of gives up.
Yeah. No, I mean, not entirely, but he definitely realizes it's not going to be the cakewalk that he thought it was going to be.
Right. He sits twice, right? He sits in, at after they skybomb Avengers, the Avengers area.
He sits before the fight starts. He sits and waits.
Waits for them to dig themselves out from the Avengers compound.
Right. And he's told Nebula to go get the stones.
Right.
So he's waiting for her to come back.
Right.
So he sits. And then he sits at the very end.
When he's being dusted.
He's watching his empire crumble to ash.
Yes, literally.
Literally.
Crumble to ash.
And I thought it was nice and ironic that he got to go last.
Yes. They did.
Everything crumbles before him and then he crumbles.
Right. And it was good because it would have been weird if it would have been in any other but they could have done it simultaneously.
Right.
And what they did was...
They could have done it, but it's more emotionally
rewarding.
Appealing and rewarding for us to see him suffer for a few seconds before...
before then, he goes
before,
to dust.
Before realizing what is about to happen to him.
Yes. And so there's the returning... Now, there's the returning of the Infinity Stones. Wait, so how... So many things change. Loki finds the Tesseract.
Right. So Loki is not captured... So
in 2012, at the end of Avengers.
We have an alternate reality.
Yeah.
Where Loki is free with the Tesseract, which is...
Is that the Disney Channel TV show that's about to occur?
We believe it is.
Okay.
We believe that must be what's going to happen.
It's sitting at his feet, and he picks it up.
He picks it up and...
Portals
away.
Berzort.
Right. And he is gone, and nobody mentions it in the movie at all.
Well, Thor does. Where did Loki go?
Oh, right. Yeah, in the moment.
Right, in 2012.
In 2012. But,
yeah.
But nobody from 2023...
Right, Iron Man doesn't mention that he not only lost the Tesseract, he lost Loki.
Loki.
Yeah.
With the Tesseract.
With the Tesseract.
Right. You might want to...
Yeah, Red Skull, floating red guy.
That might be a red flag.
Yeah. Things are happening. Things are... And it was annoying to me that Black Widow was killed before her movie came out, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Because now they're going to have to either go back in time and do some sort of like retro, like what happened in Budapest, which is what they're probably going to do. Because they mentioned Budapest again on their way to Vormir.
Right.
Vormir? Whatever.
Vormir.
And I thought the Nebula character really was amazing this whole show.
Yeah. She's fun.
She did a really good job. You realize we're only at 32 minutes.
Well, maybe a short episode.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wasn't there... Now, because you were talking about going back and saying everything that would be changed.
Oh, right. Starting with Loki leaving.
Yeah.
The Space Stone, mm-hmm. The Tesseract. That spins off its own reality.
Mm-hmm.
If we are to believe the directors.
Right.
Right. And we should. I mean, they made the movie, so...
They made the movie. They may have made it as an error, and then they're retconning it.
Right. Right, but that's how you work these things, right?
Right. I mean, that it's such a big world now.
Yeah. And so, so if we were to follow... here's what I was thinking, is if we were to follow through... Now, upon watching it the second time...
Yes.
I was paying more attention to what Hulk was explaining when they were explaining quantum reality and quantum... And the time travel that they were going to do.
Okay.
He and Nebula were trying to talk Scott Lang. Because Scott Lang was making, you know, like, this is how it should work because of these other movies. And they're like, doesn't really work that way.
Oh.
And...
What did he say? Because I don't remember.
He said, you cannot change your own past.
Because you are living in your own present.
You're living in your own present. You cannot change your own past. If you go back, if in a minute we're about to send you to your past, but it will be a minute in your future.
Right.
You'll just be in a different space-time.
I can't change, if I found myself as a child, I could not change that?
Correct. Like if you, let's say you go back in time.
Right.
And you kill yourself, you run yourself over in it as a child.
Right. please.
You would still be there because you have lived your life and have this
right
and have had your past already.
Yeah.
That version of you does not get a future.
Ah.
But you still have your future ahead of you.
Right.
And you just because you've just in the same way that you've already had your that you already had your
so
own
you
past.
Can't correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
You cannot
correct the past. Because right. The past is already done.
The past is already done.
Here's what I did love. I love the reparenting of Nebula. When they're playing football.
Oh, yeah.
When triangle football.
Yeah.
And see, we had fun, right? Did we have fun?
We had fun.
This is a good game.
We had fun.
Good sport. Good sport. Shake hands. And,
shake hands.
Yeah.
And then we got right after when she gets reunited with Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
She and Rocket hold hands for a second.
Yeah, they
do. Which was sweet.
That was really sweet. Yeah.
So before seeing it the second time and realizing that the Hulk was right.
Okay.
My plan was to go through the movies and go, all right, well, based on what they've done, how many of these movies couldn't have happened the way that they happened? But,
right.
But because they already happened. They've already happened.
But we want to see things.
Right. Right. So there are then alternate realities.
Yeah.
Right. Stemming from when things changed.
And when did things change? So,
well, I think the earliest change.
Mm-hmm.
What's the earliest one they go back to is 1950 or 1970.
Right, 1970 is the earliest time when they go back.
The time that they go back and
to get PIM particles and the Tesseract, and how.
Right.
Robert Downey, Iron Man meets his dad.
Correct.
But other than that, doesn't do much.
Right, and they go back and they put the Tesseract back,
mm-hmm.
or we presume that it happens.
That Captain America goes back and puts that Tesseract back
at the moment that it's that.
Do you think he puts the PIM particles back too?
That's an excellent question.
Right, because
they don't show it.
A second time I watched the movie, I remember him grabbing four, and I thought, "There's eight. Why don't you grab a couple extras, and you can see the world a little bit." And then because at the end of the movie, I was like, "Well, where are they finding the PIM particles to send him back?" But that's because Hank Pym is back.
Right, Hank Pym is back. You can go get more PIM particles. It's no big deal.
It feels like Hank Pym not sharing so much with. I mean, he might be thinking too late. Because he never wanted to share the tech with Iron Man or his dad.
Right.
And
earlier on, we get to see him decide not to.
Right. In Ant-Man. Right. But he must.
Right. So, yeah. So presumably there's some things that spin off there.
Mm-hmm.
In
the 70s.
Right. And presumably that's also when Steve Rogers goes back and marries Peggy.
When she's in her 40s.
When she's in her 40s. Because, ew, old Peggy? No. We want new voluptuous. That's not a trophy. A trophy is hot, new, voluptuous Peggy.
Right. He doesn't go back to... I mean, so he gets unfrozen when? He gets unfrozen in Iron Man...
Iron Man 1 is like 2009, right?
Wait, 2012.
Oh, sorry, not Iron Man. He gets unfrozen in...
In the Avengers?
Right
before the Avengers.
In Captain America.
But remember when he comes to...
Oh, Captain America, right.
First Avenger, 2011.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
So he comes back in 2011.
Correct.
So in 2023, he is in his mid-30s.
Yes.
So he's got to go back to 1970... Because
he's got to put the thing back.
32. What's 10? I mean, he should have gone back because they were of an age, right?
Yes.
They were both about 20, 22.
I think she was a little bit older.
She might have been 24.
Because she was a lieutenant. She was a lieutenant. She had risen up into the ranks and stuff. She had proven herself already.
Right, and he was like 20, 21.
Right.
So, and that was in 1945.
Right.
44.
Right.
So 1954, he would have been 31.
He would have been the right.
Yeah. So right around 1960 is when he should have gone back, not 1970, because then she would be 15 years older than him.
Well,
and there's no trophy there.
Right. I think he goes back sometime in the 50s.
Okay.
Based on the house and the, like, when we see the house, we see.
Oh, them dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I think he goes back sometime in the 50s. He can pick any period of time to go back to.
Right. And he's going to...
But she looked like
She looked like Peggy Carter. She looks like a real, like the actress looks.
Right.
With really good hair.
Yes.
Yes. And.
Right. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
The second is, you know, maybe something changes because they took Pym particles from Pym's lab.
Right.
Maybe that's, or maybe nothing changes because Pym was already starting to get, lose faith with the government. And that's just like one more thing in his.
As a reason not to trust the government.
Not to trust the government.
The weird thing, so there were extra scenes that they shot from those, in those movies. Like that Avengers scene, we never saw that scene with Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah. That's right. They shot all that.
The elevator scene.
Yeah.
That's neat. Yeah. That they did that.
Yeah, it's super cool.
It was, you know, you called it a victory lap.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing is a victory lap. In fact, there is a victory lap in the movie, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, it's a...
How
it's,
so? What I do you mean?
It when Tony Stark drives up to the base.
Yeah.
And we see him, his car is over here.
Yes.
And it's literally a 20 seconds of us watching him drive this way, come around the corner... Drive this way, come around the corner, drive this way, pull up in front of Steve, go a little bit too far, back up.
Roll the window 20
down. 20 seconds before he actually speaks a line.
Yeah.
That is a victory lap.
Yes.
That is literally a victory lap.
It's one of those reasons, I remember when I first started reading Iron Man and I was like, this guy's a tool. This guy's a freaking tool bag.
He has a bit of a tool bag.
And
but with a heart of gold.
Well, in the end, it's a heart of an arc reactor.
That's right.
And so they did a really nice job. And there was also, I saw on Twitter, the woman who was in charge of casting.
Oh yeah.
And I can't remember her name now.
Honestly, if anybody gets an award for these things, it for should these be her.
And the amazing thing about this movie. And I keep saying it, but it's the 22nd movie in this damn series, and none of them are awful.
All of them winners.
All of them winners.
Right.
There's ones.
We have our favorites, but so what? They're all winners.
Right. So now your favorites are, and it's hard to come up with favorites.
Right. I actually have. I because I've had
did you make a laminated
list? I've had this conversation. Yes, I've got it in my pocket here. No. My favorites are...
Oh, he's got a pen out, you guys.
So these are my six favorites.
Six
favorites.
Out of
22.
Out of 22.
So approximately one-third of them.
One-third of these movies.
So if we're gonna divide them into thirds...
Do you know that Vargas, on this trip to Eastern Europe, he said, what are your five favorite movies of all time? And he said that, and then we were like, well, what are yours? And he said, well, Avatar.
What?
And we made fun of him for 3 weeks. I was like... I enjoyed Avatar, but there's no way I would call it one of my favorite movies of all time. That's such a weird thing to have claimed as a favorite of all time. Would you say that of these six movies that they're kind of your favorite of all time? Like, do they beat Amelie? Do they beat other movies not of this genre?
Apples and oranges. Apples and oranges. I'm not going to even do that.
You're not going to play that game?
No, I'm not going to play that game.
What if I insist? Storm out. Storm out, Andy. What do you got? What do you got circled? All right. You're circling some?
I'm circling some things here. They're not in order, right?
Right.
I mean, I couldn't possibly order them.
Okay.
In a way. And I think, let me see, that's five. The last one is, I think it's probably that one.
It's real hard.
So it's also super hard not to give extra credit, basically, to the original Iron Man, the original Captain America, and the original Thor for setting the tone.
True.
That the rest of them followed and followed perfectly.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, so
they built on something.
They're not on my list, but they could be if we allowed you to give them extra credit for that.
It's sort of like saying that Empire Strikes Back was the best Star Wars movie, but it couldn't exist without the original Star Wars movie.
Right, and I wouldn't even agree to that.
You wouldn't agree that the Empire Strikes Back is the best Star Wars movie?
Yeah, no.
Phantom Menace, Clone War?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What happened? All of our phones are ringing.
Yeah, our phones are running off the...
But that's okay. So you went with the Avengers, the first Avengers.
First Avengers.
Marvel's the first Avengers, Joss Whedon.
Yep.
I agree. That's on my top six.
Yep.
Just because of it, it nailed the ensemble group.
Yep. It gave everybody really interesting things to do.
The whole time.
The whole time.
And it helped that there were only five or six of them.
It did help that there was only five or six of them.
And not 30.
Right.
Because that was the mess that was Infinity War.
Right.
That there were just too many. Yep. So, and not that I didn't enjoy Infinity War.
Right, and they kind of got that right in Endgame, too.
Yes.
Although, only in the final battle.
Okay. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, the next one's circled.
Yep.
Because of the spy novel?
Because the spy novel aspect of it, because of the tie with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the time.
Oh, right.
They had done, it's really just masterful.
Hydra rises.
Yep.
We get to see all that. Robert Redford.
Yep.
All of that stuff is amazing.
That's great.
It's really an amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then we just watched Civil War again, and I forgot how much I enjoyed Civil War.
Right.
Yeah. So... Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man.
First Ant-Man may be in my top three.
Just because of the heart?
Just because it's so the heart of it is so good, and the visual imagination of it is mm-hmm. so is so amazing. Like the fights that they have is tiny. The tiny fights.
Oh, the tiny fights were so funny.
The tiny fights are so good
and really well done.
Yeah,
yeah.
The fight in the briefcase is like, who even thinks about it? Who even had that briefcase idea?
Yeah, that was a great one.
So good.
Yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Best villain in the whole, in all 22.
Best villain, Vulture.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Yep.
You said that, because I don't remember him from the comics, you said that he was very much CD list.
Absolutely.
And he didn't really, and he wasn't smart.
Nah.
But Michael Keaton, very smart.
Right.
And they did keep, I remember you saying this when we saw Homecoming, that they kept, the thing about him is that he was very much tit for tat in the comics, where he was like, you do something for me, I'm going to do something for you, we're even.
Okay.
So at the end of Homecoming, he saved Spider-Man's life by not revealing his, because he has his secret identity. Right. He knows it.
To Scorpion.
Right, to Scorpion. And he's like, now they're even.
Now we're even. And now he can go back to planning his death.
Right. Now he can kill him again with the right. information he has.
Right.
What was that? What about that scene where Captain America's fighting Captain America?
Oh, so good.
From Avengers. And he says Bucky's still alive.
That's right.
To trick him into letting him go.
So there's another change in the...
Right, except for that then he takes the Mind Stone and makes him forget.
Does he make him forget or does he just knock him out?
I think he makes him forget.
He might make him forget.
Yeah. I like the idea that he's like...
No, forget about that.
You just forget about that. Okay, Black Panther, the 2018.
Yep.
Why that one? I loved it.
That one I love because of the way that the writers present all... It's ultimately a political story about how to lead a country. And we get to see...
And responsibility. Yeah.
In all these characters, we get to see and hear all of these different points of view about doing exactly that.
Right, and the responsibility of it and the different choices you can make.
Yep.
Yeah, besides being super gorgeous, though
Despite being super gorgeous, despite being an amazing fantasy fiction of an Africa that was never colonialized.
Yeah. It addresses so many big issues.
And the heart is still really good.
Yeah.
And it's still funny.
Right.
And it's still...
Can't recommend it in 4D.
No, no.
With the shaking of the chair and the smell-o-vision.
In D-Box.
In D... With the D-Bag? Nope.
No, the smell-o-vision was horrible.
Smell-o-vision? Terrible idea. And then Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
I agree.
I love it.
It's that
we saw it three times in the opening weekend. We love it.
Yeah, we love it. And so if I were to do my top six, and they might be something different. I wonder if they would be anything different. Yeah, because it would be...
A lot of people put the first Captain America on there just because it's also really, really good.
Well, for me, I got 5, and then... Yeah, I gotta go... Yeah, I think it was... Mine are Captain America First Avenger.
All right, yeah.
As I always do, I just love it when they punch Nazis.
Right, right.
I'm a big fan of a Nazi punching Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And the politics of that, you know, like those great lines of the doctor who invents the super soldier serum,
mm-hmm.
where he says, people forget that the first country that Hitler invaded was Germany.
Right.
And stand up for the little guy, you know? Don't forget about the little guy, you know? And he's like, we could give this power to someone who's already big, but he's not going to have... So that doctor picked Steve Rogers.
For his heart.
For his heart, yeah. Yep. And it was just the best. I also picked the Avengers, the first Avengers.
Sure.
And then I also picked Ant-Man.
Okay.
But then I also picked Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
Because I like Doctor Strange mostly... I mean, I love the whole visual thing of it.
You love the moment when the Ancient One says to him,
yes.
It's not about you.
Oh my God, it's not about you. It is such a great moment in that movie that speaks to so many people, if you're willing to hear it. And Black Panther, I love Black Panther because I tend to think, Killmonger, not entirely wrong.
No, no, he was just another point of view.
He was another point of view.
Another competing point of view.
Right. And I had a friend said, hey, when he killed Forrest Whitaker,
mm-hmm.
that's when he lost me. I was like, nope. and then Captain Marvel, because as I've said it before and I'll say it again, it just the heart of she is a noble warrior hero.
Yep.
In every iteration of her life.
That's right.
Which is why in
whether she remembers it or not,
that is the person she is,
mm-hmm.
and which is why in Endgame, which was shot before Captain Marvel, and granted, that because of how powerful she is, they have to keep sending her out for coffee.
Right.
She has to go.
Please go to Pluto for coffee.
Please do a lap so that we could have some growth and learn to deal with this ourselves. And and now you had speculation that they were going to downgrade her powers. Was that you?
This is, again, something that I've talked about with some of my coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
That at some point, because I know that they're planning on merging the X universe.
Oh, right.
With the Marvel MCU at some point in the future.
Yes.
And when they do, they can do the story where Rogue siphons off some of her powers.
Oh, right.
And memories.
And does Rogue keep those powers? I thought she does. When she takes somebody's powers,
it's usually temporary.
Yeah.
But if she
concentrates,
if she holds on to them too long,
oh,
she can kill them, and then she gets it forever.
Oh God!
She nearly kills Carol Danvers in the comics. She nearly kills Carol Danvers.
Oh really?
And so maintains
a lot of her powers, and Carol Danvers loses some
and
of
flight,
her.
And
oh really?
Yep.
Oh, I would love to see a Rogue movie.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. But instead, we get another Dark Phoenix. It's because people love Cyclops. And they don't even love Jean Grey. They love Cyclops.
And they love
the Cyclops, Wolverine, Jean Grey, you know, soap opera.
Right.
It's not that, because Wolverine's great.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a kid loving Wolverine and Spider-Man. And then watching the movies throw those characters away and sort of ruin.
They kind of did all right with Wolverine, I thought.
X-Men is
great. The second X-Men is great for Wolverine.
Right, when he breaks back right. in to find
He's
out his history.
He's kind of the focal point for a lot of the X-Men movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Days of Future Past is basically an
and Logan, an old Logan,
X-Men, Logan was a Wolverine movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of starred in like,
right? He's a giant figure that they. I mean,
yeah, he's been.
I
that
think
kind of
I
main
loved
character in
Wolverine and Spider-Man before I knew enough about comic books.
Hmm.
And now I'm like, because I kind of like Deadpool more.
Hmm.
than Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I have all
Wasn't
of this
it cool
information.
That they brought Deadpool into the MCU?
When?
I'm kidding.
You're kidding. Did you guys miss that?
Was it you that was telling me that Howard the Duck was in the...
Yeah, I read a Vulture article, and they said that he comes through one of the portals.
That's awesome.
Which is great.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's awesome.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would he show up on Earth?
Right.
That's dumb.
Right.
And though...
In the comics, he's from a different reality altogether.
Oh, okay. He's not from 616?
No.
All right.
No, he's from a reality where everybody's a duck.
Right.
He's just a dude.
Right, he's just a normal dude in Duck Universe, right? But then he comes to 616.
Right.
And he is a talking duck.
And he's a talking duck.
Yeah, which isn't... So does Howard the Duck have any powers?
No.
So why do superheroes keep wanting to team up with him?
Some people have written that he is one of the Nexus of Realities. The reason that he came, he's become a sort of a point where different realities can converge.
Okay.
So maybe they'll use him to bring some of these other stories, to tell some of these other stories.
Right. I want the Bechdel.
Yes.
I want the Bechdel short.
Mm-hmm.
I want...
this is my... The Bechdel short is something I've been pitching to Jackie for the last... 10 years.
Since, I think, Ultron.
Maybe.
It would have been from Ultron.
Certainly after
2015.
2015.
So for the last 4 years, Andy Ashcraft is at an idea where he would like another one-shot.
I would like to write and direct a one-shot in which Pepper Potts has a lunch, basically invites Dr. Foster to lunch. They have lunch because there is business that they could do together. Regarding
because one is an amazing scientist.
One's an amazing scientist, and the other one controls a big research...
$1 billion in research grants. And business
and
opportunities.
Particularly interested in energy sources.
Right.
So they're going to have a conversation about energy sources, extra-dimensional energy sources being used to power...
And what inspired this was that at the Age of Ultron... Clinkfest. What was the party they were all at?
And neither one of them were there.
And neither one of them were there. And you're like, I know where they are.
Right.
They're at dinner.
They're having dinner together, discussing real things.
Right, something real, and not anything to do with Thor or Iron Man.
That's right.
They never come up.
And then at the end, you pan out, and we see that the name of the restaurant that they're at is called. it's the name of the restaurant is Bechdel's.
Yay! Oh my god, I so want that. And then it would be fun. And so there is one woman who has been involved, someone named Jack, J-A-C. I think her name is probably short for Jacqueline.
Mm.
And she is writing the new Black Widow movie.
Oh, cool.
And with some dude.
Okay.
And she is also involved in some other. I don't know how she came up through Marvel or what her, but she doesn't have a lot of other credits. Her IMDb does not show me what her,
where she's bringing.
From? Yeah, where's she from? Or is this just another placeholder? Because as much as I love what they've done with all of these movies, they need to be more inclusive of the writers.
Yeah.
I would love that. It was, and I say that, it does not mean I'm not watching the next 22 movies.
Right, right. They're doing a fine job. The stories are all holding together very nicely. Mm-hmm. The productions are great.
The casting is amazing.
All of these things that we talk about.
Yes.
Literally.
They're not there to make you not enjoy the movie. Yeah, they're just fun minutiae regarding the history.
That's right. We wouldn't even bother talking about these things if we didn't love these movies because we love the characters.
Yeah. Yeah. So do we know if there's another Thor movie?
We think so. And we think it might be called As Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh my God.
We don't know.
That whole thing at the end of it with Star-Lord, and he is so... Like
the comic, his Chris Hemsworth's comic timing is so good.
It's really good. And Drax?
So good.
So good as well.
He never got to kill Thanos. I was really hoping Drax would get to be the one to be able to kill Thanos.
Oh, wow. That would have been great. That would have been awesome if he would have killed Thanos. Another thing is if Sam Wilson would have picked up the hammer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome, too. Because we were talking about this at lunch today.
Yeah.
He's also somebody who's... We've never seen him utter a dark thought.
Right. He is literally in the Captain America where they meet on the left. He is a grief PTSD counselor. He's always been a hero.
He's always a hero. He's never not a hero.
He is essentially like Gamora in the way that he's always the voice of sanity.
Right.
And he's always right.
That's right.
And instead... So how great would it have been during that battle if he had picked up the hammer?
Mm-hmm.
And how much would we have lost our fucking minds? We lost our minds close enough when
Captain America picks up the hammer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and now that we have Stormbreaker, do you think we'll get Beta?
Beta Ray Bill?
Yeah.
Well, we've seen Beta Ray Bill.
In Ragnarok?
Memorialized in Ragnarok on the side of as one of the previous champions.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We don't know what's happened to him, but we know he exists out there.
He is out there because he was there's a bust of him
right
on that giant Jeff Goldblum building.
That's right.
Will there be another Ant-Man? Because now there is Far Away From Home or something like that.
Yep. Far From Home.
Far From Home Spider-Man coming out for sure.
Yep. Like next month.
And then there's a Black Widow and a Black Panther, both in production or in pre-production.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't keep track of the lists of things to come until they start seeing trailers for them.
Oh, well, fair enough.
So I have no idea.
I tried to look into it for this actual exchange, and then I stopped. but all of this does make me want to watch them all from the beginning again, because they were great. They're all great. Thank you very much for doing this spoiler episode.
Yes. So we have now spoiled all of the movies for you. If you haven't seen them, don't bother.
Don't bother. Or watch them with this playing in your mind.
Exactly.
Or, because we barely, I know that we haven't really scratched the surface, but it was a really great movie. He just nodded.
I nodded. I nodded my agreement.
This bonus episode of The Dork Forest has been brought to you by me, Jackie Cation, and my loved one, Andy Ashcraft.
Aww.
The long box I am married to.
Yay.
That's a dick joke. And then I say this to you. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?